I don't belong to a place now until my death.
Did you mess up any tours at the beginning?
In the Mojave Desert, like thousands of miles of desert, and I realized I forgot to take gas. Yeah, miscarriage was one of the worst experiences in my life, but I learned a lot from that.
So, okay, tell me about your experience with miscarriage.
Yeah, I just cried and screamed.
Wow.
And I really felt the emptiness in my body. I felt it like a hole in my body. I worked for Siri at Apple, but it was very interesting to work for Siri.
Laurie, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for joining me. It's really nice to be having a glass of wine with you.
Thank you.
I feel like our paths have crossed many, many times. Always partying.
Most of the time.
We have a dear friend in common, and we always, you know, we've seen each other so much at parties, and yeah, I mean, we talk, but I feel like we don't really actually know each other. So I'm super excited to be having this conversation with you and to be sharing this glass of wine, French wine, and to just really get to know you better and to share. For you to have you share your story and for people to hear your story. I'll tell you what I know about your story.
Okay.
You're French.
Good.
Yeah. You're French. You love to dance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You like to dance Latin music.
Yeah.
I know that. I know you're outgoing also. Uh-huh. And you are a certified tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know.
Well, I'm sure you know a little bit more, but
yeah. You probably know a little bit more, but I want you to share more. So maybe just take us back to France.
Okay.
Where it all started.
Oof, a long time ago. Yeah, no, so yeah, I grew up in the south of France, and I'm very proud of that. I love the south of France. I miss it, actually. And I grew up with my mom, and yeah, I studied in France. I did everything in the south, but very young, I always said that I wasn't going to stay in France, that I wasn't going to stay in Europe neither. It was too close to France, and I wanted to go far. Okay. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't. I guess it wasn't the. Again, I love France, but I think the mentality or it wasn't for me. But really, I have no explanation.
It was just something that was ingrained in you from the beginning. Like yeah. You didn't want to be there, or you wanted, or maybe not so much that you didn't want to be there, but you want to experience something else.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not that I didn't want to be there. But my mom, she said, it's weird because she told me, before I went to Canada, because I moved to Canada after, she told me, yeah, you're going to go to North America, then you're going to come back, and then you're going to go back.
Wow.
And I was like, no. And then I went to Canada, and I came back, and she told me, remember, I told you were going to go back. And I was like, no, for sure. I went to Canada, now I'm staying in France. And life brought me again.
Okay. So how long were you in Canada for?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
So you finished your studies in France, and from there you went straight to Canada?
So I studied, I was 19 years old. Okay. I went for a summer in San Francisco to be an au pair,
okay,
like a nanny.
Yeah.
I stayed there 3 months. Then I came back to study psychology. Mm-hmm. And I went back to San Francisco to be an au pair for the summer.
Okay.
I came back. And then I went to Hawaii to be an au pair again.
That's not a bad place to be an au pair.
No, I chose my place.
Yeah, you chose wisely. San Francisco, Hawaii.
Exactly. And when you're 20, 22 years old, it's great. So yeah, I started this way, and then I had my diploma, and after that I had the opportunity to go to Canada and to move there. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to go there for a year, you know, to experience something new, and then you start having your life and you stay there.
So where in Canada?
In Montreal, okay. French Canada.
So French Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
So at least, I mean, I know it's very different culturally, but at least the language was something familiar and.
Yeah, it was. It was funny because, well, it's gonna be like the Quebecois people who live in Montreal.
Yeah.
They wouldn't like me to say that, but I couldn't understand their French, so I asked them to talk to me in English sometimes.
Wow! Oh, yeah. They really did not like that.
I love them, but sometimes I was like, "I'm sorry, can you speak English because I can't understand." But their language is beautiful too.
Yeah. And what were you doing in Canada then? You were working, but as a psychologist or?
No. Actually, I've never worked in psychology, even if I would have liked that.
Yes.
But I was a project manager in event project manager.
That's fun. Yeah. I have some experience in events. That's fun.
I know.
That's fun.
I know. Yeah. So for a very nice company in Montreal, and we were organizing events everywhere in Canada, like Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, and in the US as well. So for me, like 24 years old, I was like, wow.
Yes, you were traveling all over then.
I was traveling, I was in charge of events, and I couldn't dream more. Like it was...
Corporate events?
Corporate, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I like corporate events more. I mean, like if I had to choose between weddings and corporate every single day.
Oh yes.
I don't know if I could deal with weddings. Like basically, I don't know if I could deal with a bride, with a crazy bride.
Yeah. That's same for me. You have to be very patient. But also with the corporate events, you can you're with them. You experience everything with them. Like for the bride, it's her wedding.
Yeah.
But with corporate events, if it's an incentive, for example, you're going to be in the seaplane with them.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
At the nice restaurant, you're going to be there too.
you get to experience everything with the good and the bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you were doing that for 8 years.
Yeah.
And you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you decided that it was time for a new chapter?
No. It's I met my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He came to Montreal for a conference as a neuroscientist.
Okay.
And we have a friend in common and we met. And
where was he?
He was living in San Diego.
Okay.
But he's French.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And so for 2 years, we did a 2 years long distance relationship. So I was traveling to San Diego, he was traveling to Montreal, and we would meet in Boston, Atlanta, Chicago. So it was nice.
Yeah.
But I think we were happy that way because he was very happy in San Diego. I was very happy in Montreal.
Yeah. I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this podcast. Let's make this grow together.
And so,
but still, I mean, 2 years of long distance is tough, right?
But because he could work remote, also.
So you would actually spend a good amount of time together.
Yeah.
When you were together, it wasn't like, oh, I'm here for the weekend and then bye.
Yeah, sometimes it was for the weekend, but sometimes it was for 2 weeks. So it wasn't bad, but then it was easier for me to move, so I moved to San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you left your job?
Yeah, it was really hard.
I was going to say, I mean, you liked it there. Did you like San Diego? Like, did you see yourself like, okay, this is a place where I want to be? Or honestly, did you just move for love?
I moved for love, for sure.
Mm.
But then I was like, oh, it's a new experience. I'm always happy to have new experiences. But in Montreal, I was so happy, and Montreal is such an amazing city. And I spent all my 20s in Montreal, so I had all of my friends who became family, because when you don't have your family...
And also that age, right? I mean, at that age, I feel like you get so close to people and you're that age.
Yeah, exactly. And I left everything, and you're kind of someone where you are, you know, you built your reputation and everything, and then you move and you're nothing.
You have to start from scratch.
Exactly. You have to start from scratch.
Apart from your husband, did you have any friends in San Diego? Or?
I had Mona, yeah, the friend we have in common. Yeah, yeah. I had Mona, but that's it. And but I wasn't worried, like, it's, you can...
Yeah, you can make friends and all. Yeah, but I get it. I mean, you had a beautiful circle and a great life, and then just being pulled from that. I mean, not pulled, you decided to
leave.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, no, no. But it's, I mean, I had the love, so it's very important.
Yeah, I mean...
But then, on a, you know, if you see day by day, like, the idea of moving is nice. Oh, wow, a new life, and we're going to start something new. Mm-hmm. But then... You arrive here like I don't know a Monday. Then on a Tuesday, like my husband was working, and me on a Tuesday, I was like, okay, what do I do?
Yeah, like what's next for me now?
yeah, and I wasn't allowed to work for a year, so.
Well, of course, because you also had to figure out like your whole paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that year of not working?
depressing.
I know. Yeah, I can imagine, because you're very in there, like you do a lot of things, and you're always moving, and you're used to it. Yeah, that's another thing I know, that you're always moving and networking and like building relationships and like and doing all of these things. So for a year you weren't.
Well, no, it was really hard. I was crying a lot, and but I'm. I was lucky, you know, lucky. I knew I was lucky, but at the same time, I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, maybe I should go back to Montreal, because I tried, I worked for Canada, I worked for France, but I wasn't allowed to work here. So
your idea, and I'm going to jump into that, because you have your company, Lori, in California. I told you I was going to say in California, because I'm not going to say it in French. But you say it in French.
Lori en Californie.
Lori en Californie. Was that too bad?
No, it was good. It was good.
So your company, was that a product of that year of...
I don't think so. Or maybe.
How did that... happen? Because you went from being a project manager and doing events to being a tour guide, and specializing really in California tours.
Because California and Western USA. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's, I think I organized events when I wasn't allowed to work. Mm-hmm. I organized events for Canada in the US.
Okay.
So that's how I was kind of allowed to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when I got my visa, I had other requests to organize events for French or Quebecois. So I started my company because I had requests. Mm-hmm. So I started my company as an incentive company.
Okay.
But then I, like another company in Montreal asked me if I wanted to be a tour guide in the national parks.
Okay.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yes. I know you have a love for national parks, right? It's a
I love for national parks. Well, I didn't have that love before, but it's just like for me it was a dream job.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what, really? Like, I've never thought I could do that one day. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, yeah. Okay, I'll be a tour guide in the national park. So I had the training and everything that I needed to do, and then for a year, and guided people in the national parks, in different national parks.
So the national parks in the U.S., right?
In Western USA.
Western USA.
And okay. Alaska as well.
So the people who were coming from Canada, you were being their tour guide.
Yeah, Canada or France.
And Canada and France for these national parks.
Yes.
How was that training? I'm curious. Like, how is the, like, what do you... what do you train on? I mean, first of all, you need to be able to hike for a long period of time, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you train, the training was about, it's grocery shopping.
Grocery shopping, like, really?
Because at the beginning I was doing camping trips.
Uh-huh.
So, but for wealthy people, so you have to welcome them, like you need to prepare a good meal, but you're camping.
Mm-hmm.
So this, and like I had to do my commercial driver license.
Okay.
so in English, and you have to learn everything in the truck. Like, I don't know it in French, yeah, but I know it in English. And so commercial driver license, and then you have to know geology, fauna and flora, human history of the national park.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Like about geology, it's my new passion now. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it. I still don't know anything, mm-hmm, but I know a little bit, and yeah, it's very interesting.
And you had to learn how to cook at the campgrounds, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah.
You were cooking for the people that were coming on the tours.
Yeah.
How was your cooking?
Well, actually, it was good.
Yeah?
I had good reviews.
Okay.
but I like cooking, but I don't love it.
Yeah.
But people help you as well. You know, it's small groups, like 10 or 12 people.
Okay.
So it's, but I don't know, I was doing curry, like shrimps and vegetables. So it's weird to have that when you camp, because usually it's just easy.
No, but you were making nice food, nice meals,
yeah,
and that's why you were getting good reviews.
Yeah. So you have to do that, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's cool. It was everything that I loved, actually. Like driving, I love driving. Mm-hmm. I love it when it's a bit challenging.
Yeah.
When you have your truck and a trailer and you have to go in small roads. And
so cool. So how long were you doing this with the company? You were with them for how long?
I think it was only a year.
Okay.
And then I had requests for also, again, incentive and also private,
mm-hmm,
but high-end. So I started my own company, and so now that's what I do. I sometimes organize events in Western USA, incentive trips, or I go with families in the national parks to go hiking or not. We don't have to hike.
Mm.
And now it's more hotels than camping that I like.
Yeah. After a while, you were like, I'm done with the camping.
Yeah. Yes, and I love it. I love it because it's you're in the family when you travel for a few days or weeks. Sometimes you're with the family you travel with all the time. So you're part of the family.
You must build really nice relationships and bonds with the people that you give the tour to, right? I mean,
yeah,
it must be very rewarding.
It's the best. That's why it's my dream job, because you connect with people and you meet people from everywhere, with different lives,
yeah,
and from everywhere in the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to know new culture. Like it's not, now I don't do France and Quebec,
mm-hmm,
only, I do Luxembourg or Africa.
Okay.
So it's very interesting. Also, sometimes you're a therapist,
mm-hmm,
in the family when because you're with them.
Well, your psychology degree comes,
yeah,
in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just nice to be at the end, it's really hard to leave them because,
mm-hmm,
they became your family for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. It's very interesting to see how you, like, life took you down this path,
yeah,
of something that you clearly are super passionate about, and
yeah,
probably never really thought of doing that until this opportunity came up.
Exactly. I couldn't imagine I was going to do that someday.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
But so I know that you've spent time here in San Diego, but then you left and then you came back.
Yeah.
And then you left again, and
yeah,
now you're back.
Yeah.
So the coming and going, Is it San Diego that you were having a hard time getting used to?
Mm.
Is it just your, or is it just in you that wanting to experience something else, wanting to be at a different place, and the idea of maybe like settling in one place for too long is daunting? Or like, what is it that has been, like, what is it that brings you in and out? And do you like San Diego? Let's start there.
Yeah, I like San Diego. I like San Diego, but it's not my city. It's not the city where I want to live all my life. Also, so we're not together anymore with my husband. So I was like, what do I do? Do I stay here or do I go back to Montreal or do I go back to France? So yeah, I think I've never get used to San Diego. I don't feel at home, even if I really like the city, but I don't feel like at home here. I feel at home in Montreal.
Okay.
But at the same time, I have now, it's been more than 6 years, so I have my job, I have my friends, I have my life here. And my life is not in Montreal anymore, it's not in France. So I have my life here, but I have my mom in France, and she's getting older now. And I don't have a big family, I mean, really. So if my mom is alone, she's alone. If I'm alone, I'm alone. So I have to go back from time to time to see her and to be with her. And also I like to spend time in France. Mm-hmm. So.
And you have the liberty of having your own schedule, right? Because you decide like what tours you take, what tours you don't take. It's your company. Yeah.
It's my company, but I still need money.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes I don't decide.
Yeah. And you do live in San Diego, so you need a lot of money.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. You decided to live in California, so that's a lot of money you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Well, let me tell you about the wine we're drinking. Let me pour you some more wine.
Yes.
Let's start there. So this wine, it's a French wine, but it's actually from Corsica.
Mm-hmm, very nice.
It's a beautiful wine, and it is a blend of three varietals. The first one is Grenache, which is very common in south of France, your region. But the varietal is actually originally from Spain.
Okay.
It's called Garnacha. And it also has Chacarello, which is a indigenous varietal to Corsica, and Nieluchu, which is a clone of Sangiovese from Italy.
Okay.
So it's a really, really nice wine. It's a woman winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Marie, let me look up, I have her name over here. Marie Charlotte Pinelli.
Okay.
The wine is Domaine Pinelli. And she was living, so she comes from a family of winemakers, but she went to Paris and she was studying in Paris. And at 19, she decided to just start making wine again, like, with her family. She's from Corsica. So she went back to Corsica, started producing wine. It's a small vineyard in the north coast of Corsica. So yeah, it's nice, right? It's a nice wine. It's herbal, it's fresh, it has high acidity, so cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
I knew you would like this wine. I was like, oh, this is a good wine.
Yeah, but how did you know about this wine?
I had the bottle, and I studied a little bit about it, and I was like, okay, this is a good one for our podcast.
Nice.
And, it has Grenache, it has that Southern France component.
Yes.
And I know you're from Southern France, so just like to bring something that felt a little bit like home. So you just came back from France.
Uh-huh.
A few days ago.
Yeah, I'm still jet lag.
Yeah, you're still jet lag.
Yeah, I'm really bad with jet lag.
Don't fall asleep on me, Larry.
It's fine.
Yeah, so you were saying, because you were speaking French for a month and a half, and then when I was asking you, like, are you gonna do this in English, remember?
yeah, but it's so I've been living in North America for 18 years.
18.
But in Montreal I was speaking French, and then my clients mostly are from France.
Mm-hmm. Your husband is French.
Yeah. So
all that connection, and you have a lot of friends that are French as well.
Yeah, well, friends are from everywhere, but a lot are French too. So yeah.
So I want to hear some stories of you as a tour guide, because I'm sure you have so many cool stories of just, you know, people you've encountered and accidents, and, you know, just like not bad accidents, but like weird things that have happened to you on the road as a tour guide. I can't even imagine all the different things that go on.
Yeah, but it's more positive things. I had one bad thing happening. It was in Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. I had a woman who collapsed. Because in the Grand Canyon, like you start and you go down and it's nice, but then when you are down the canyon, it's hot and you have to come up. And so she didn't feel good, and so she had to stop. And like, to be a guide in the Grand Canyon, you have to be a wilderness first responder, because those things happen a lot. And so I was like, ooh, okay, like there's no helicopter we can come.
There's no helicopter?
No. So I was with her, because you need to have a flat space for the helicopter.
So how did you manage that?
So it wasn't too bad. I was with another tour guide, he stayed with her. I came back up with the rest of the group, then I came back down, and I carried her backpack, and she was feeling better, and he helped her coming up too. But so it went very well. I mean, she stayed 3 hours lying down at the bottom of the
Grand Canyon. She was very sick though then. I mean, 3 hours laying down.
Yeah, she needed water, she needed food. She was, I guess, a bit jet lagged as well.
Okay.
And it's hard, it's like 40, in Celsius it's 40, 45 degrees.
Yeah.
So it's something. But,
I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
No?
No, I know it's embarrassing. I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
No.
I've been to so many places around the world and I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
Which is what, right there.
Yeah, which is like, it's super close. Yeah, it's super close. I've never been, but I do know that when I go, I would love to hike down. And I've read and like seen about these local native community local. I'm saying it wrong and I apologize, but local communities that live there, and I would love to stay in one of those communities.
Actually, I'm not sure if it's possible.
Yeah. Well, I read that it is.
Mm-hmm.
This was a while back. I read that it is, but if you stay and something happens to you, if you get sick or anything. That's one of the disclaimers. You're basically screwed because no doctor will come, helicopter, no nothing. You're on your own, and that's the part that I find, you know, a little bit challenging. Like, you know,
yeah, you never know.
Yeah,
do you want to take the risk on that?
Exactly. So, of the national parks, which one is your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
Okay, which one? If someone says you can only go back to one, just one, which one is it?
I don't have the answer.
Okay.
No, because I have different favorites.
Okay.
But it just changes all the time. Because I take this example, like the Grand Canyon, now I'm used to it. I like it, of course, it's very impressive, but I'm... Okay.
You're like, oh, Grand Canyon again.
Yeah. But like this summer, I had a man, when he saw it, he started crying.
Mm.
And because I understand why. But so it became my favorite one for this trip.
Okay.
Like the Grand Canyon was my favorite because now I know the parks and I look at them, of course, but I prefer to look at my clients and to see how they react when they see something like that, and now I don't really look like at the park. It's really my clients.
That's interesting. So now you're more focused on what the park does to the client, like what and how it moves them, how they react to it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yes, and also like I went with my husband. I went to Zion Sunday. And he was driving, and we were on the road that I take like 10 times per year. And I was like, where are we? I couldn't
recognize it.
Because when you're like on the driver, or you're the tour guide, or when you're just a tourist, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We went to Zion for the first time last year. And oh, it was magnificent. It's wow, what an amazing place.
Yes.
Sequoia, we went, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. And we did this hike. I can't remember the name of the hike, but it took like 7 hours. And it was the most amazing hike I've ever done. And
really?
Yeah, it was, oh, I loved every minute of it.
Oh, nice.
Even though I was super sore the next day. But it was just so awesome. And every time I think of Sequoia, I think of that hike. And my sisters make fun of me because when I say Sequoia, I'm just like, oh, and the hike. And they're like, oh my God, the hike. Again, the hike.
This hike.
Yeah, like this hike was just so special.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it's...
But why was it special?
I feel like it just really felt like we were in the middle of nowhere and a lot of cliffs. I love cliffs and just being, maybe because I'm short, I like being really high up. and it was so magnificent.
Yeah.
And I was just in awe at how beautiful it was. And it was a little bit on the scary side also because, you know, it was at high cliffs and we were going through these really narrow, narrow areas where if you don't step right, you die. And I think all of that just made it so
challenging.
Cool and challenging. And we saw three different lakes. I think it's called like three lake hike, something like that. And we saw these three lakes and just getting to each one of them was so cool. And you know, the wild bears and and even seeing that it's so, you know, you feel nature, at least for me, I mean, nature is it makes me so feel so small in a good way and just it humbles you. And yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So it's so cool that you know these parts so well.
Yeah, I miss it when I don't go out in nature. I miss it.
So you've been now in the U.S. for 18 years.
In North America.
In North America for 18 years, and I think that, I mean, we as people we change as time goes by, right? Our perspective, our perspective on life, on family, like our values, like. Maybe not our values, but our perspective on life. I feel it changes as we age.
Yeah.
But it also changes based on our surroundings. And that includes where we live, of course, and who we surround ourselves with. So how has North America influenced you?
A lot. And I learned a lot from the Americans. I learned a lot. I changed, but I don't realize it. I don't think I changed, but I know I changed. Because in France, we are a nation of pessimism, and the US is very optimistic, and so I learned to be. I'm very optimistic, even in France. I was like that. But here they taught me how to be more confident and to be not judgmental as well. And to that everything is possible. It's okay to change. It's okay to think something and to change your mind. And to... Yeah, I think I'm more myself here than in France, for example.
Wow. So when you go back to France, do you now feel slightly disconnected from the culture, or like how is your relationship with France when you go now, and where do you feel you belong the most?
Oof. Ooh, that's the question. Yeah, actually, I was talking to a friend today, and she was asking me, where do you feel the most comfortable? Where is your life? And I was like, well, I feel comfortable everywhere, and that's why I don't feel comfortable where I am. Because if I'm here, I'll be like, oh, I miss France and I miss Montreal. But if I'm in France, I'll be like, oh, I miss the US and I miss Canada. So I think I have to accept, and maybe it's the same for you, I don't know, I have to accept that wherever I'll be, I always be like, oh yeah, it was nice where I was there. I don't belong to a place. I don't think now until my death, it's okay, now I'm here, and later I'll be somewhere else.
When you were in Montreal, you felt that you belonged there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that was a period of in your life, and again, maybe it was just that, right? A period, a chapter in your life where you were like, "This is where I belong. This is where I want to be."
But no, because I always missed France, and it was. And also it was in my 20s, you know, where like you come from France, where it's like kind of narrow-minded, and then you're 20 and you arrive in a new country where everything is possible and you experience new things and you're an adult. And so I was like, yeah, like it's where I became myself. And you meet so many people from everywhere in the world and you discover that it's not just France, it's you have the world. So, and also the city is a magical city.
I've never been there.
You would love it.
I want to go. Now we're thinking of going to Vancouver in a few months. So
Travel?
To travel.
Okay. Yeah, Vancouver is great too.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always wanted to go also to Montreal. But I also feel like, well, I've been to France so many times, like I'm going to go to Montreal and it's somewhat similar. So
it's not similar.
It's not similar at all.
No, it's very different.
Okay.
Like if you talk to a French person, he's going to say it's more American than French.
Okay.
If you just talk to an American person, he's going to say it's more French than American.
Yeah.
So it's really in the middle.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So you have the open mind, American open mind. And yeah, that's why I felt good there. I felt good, but even in Montreal, I would miss the US and I would miss France.
Yeah. So now you're just you will be missing. That's just, you've come to that conclusion that you'll always be missing. But
it's
think it's also very much linked to the people that you leave behind, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, it is about the relationships and the friendships, the bonds that you form with people. And I mean, I have that as well, right? I mean, I feel like it would be so lovely to have in one place all the people that you care for, that you love, like family and friends and from everywhere in the world. And that's not possible. I keep on trying to convince my husband for us to do a renewal of our vows. We just need an excuse. I think it's just part of life. It's it's beautiful as well, right? Because we have this amazing opportunity to have a close friendships and bonds with people from so many places around the world and have family all over the place as well, but you're always missing.
You're always missing someone or someone's.
And that's very much a US thing, right? Because so many people that come here from other places, so many immigrants, and it's the what's the term for it? There's like something about melting pot.
Yeah.
The whole melting pot. And speaking of the melting pot, what are the things that you don't fully like or accept about being in the US? Like, what are the challenges that you've encountered culturally and just in terms of adapting to being here?
Yeah, well, a lot of things too. Well, first, it's very expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's also because, I mean, you decided to live in California, so.
True. And in San Diego.
Yeah, out of all places.
Yeah, but what I miss the most, like, I have American friends, but most of them are from everywhere else in the world.
Okay.
Because it's, for me, it's hard. We don't have the same, I don't know, interest, or it's not interest, but like from a Latin country, you can go in deep conversation very quick. Whether the Americans, they're not used to it. It's another culture. And so also, well, in France, we're very reliable. If you say we're going to have lunch tomorrow, we're going to have lunch tomorrow. Here, you say you're going to have lunch tomorrow, you won't have lunch tomorrow. So at the beginning, when I was 19 in San Francisco, and like people would tell me, okay, let's meet this week and we're going to do something cool. And I was like, oh, yeah, awesome.
You were waiting for them to call you.
Exactly. And they never called me, and I was calling them, and they were like, oh, yeah, I'm working. So no, I won't meet you. I was like, But
you said you would.
Yeah, what did I do? So you don't want to see me? What's wrong?
Yeah.
But it's just another culture. And also, I learned how not to judge another culture. It's not because I don't like it that I have to judge it. It's I don't like it, but they grew up that way. Like, we grew up that way. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to observe the difference and how we can live the same lives in different countries, but differently.
Yeah, no, you're right. I feel that in a way also, as people, the more people open up, the more people travel, the more we are put in touch with other cultures in this country, those I don't know if they're boundaries, but you know, like those obstacles in terms of building relationships will slowly start fading.
Yeah.
Because maybe people will be a little bit less terrified of opening up and of just sharing.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe we like sharing, but maybe they're okay without sharing. And
it's something we have to respect.
Yeah, right? And it's okay. But I just find it so interesting to see all, like, especially here with this melting pot, all the different cultures. You learn so much just by having a conversation with someone here, because everybody has his story and his culture, and just the food also. You learn something new. Oh, you eat spicy in your country.
Yeah.
Or you don't. Oh, I thought you. Oh, I thought you would eat spicy, but okay.
And yeah, and that's the beauty, right, that about learning it. But I just thought of something, how you're right. Maybe some people don't like to share. But according to social media,
yeah,
everyone likes to share.
A bit too much.
Yeah, exactly. Which is interesting, right? Because how is it easier to share sometimes very personal things on social media? However, it's not easy to share a conversation where you dive a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Well, I guess people like to share their opinions because it's, well, the society say that it's a mark of intelligence to have an opinion.
Sure.
I don't know. So they're sharing their opinions, we. But having a deep conversation, there are some taboos, so many taboos. And also in different culture, sometimes when you talk to someone from China, for example, I don't really know China. I don't know what the culture is, so I won't be comfortable sharing, they won't be comfortable sharing with me, because we don't know where are the limits.
Yeah.
And that's what I find so interesting. It's like, okay, where are the limits? Who are you? What can
but, it but see, and the cool thing is that because that's exactly what draws you, trying to figure out that, right? Trying to figure out, especially as a tour guide, because you are in touch with people from so many different places, you really get to learn
mm-hmm.
those cultural differences, and you understand how to treat people differently based on what their cultural customs are and
yeah.
what they need, what makes them feel comfortable, what
yeah.
doesn't make them feel comfortable. You know, I do wine events, and I'm a big hugger.
Mm-hmm.
After wine events, I want to, you know, when people leave, I want to hug everyone.
Yeah.
it's in my nature, and
yeah.
it's really hard because I'm like, thank you for coming. This was great. And I kind of like, I don't know what to do with my arms because all I want to do is hug everyone. But yeah, that's where that comes in. Just being able to say, no, I mean, this is, we have a cultural difference and not everyone
yeah.
wants to hug. and the fact that doesn't make anyone better or worse.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't.
No.
It's just how we are brought up, how we're
yeah.
different, how we, it's not. It's different.
Yeah.
So tell me of some of the biggest challenges you've had in your company, like in your line of work.
So many challenges.
Well, first, just setting the whole thing. Was it easy to set it up?
Yeah.
That's like a thing, right? It's super easy to set
yeah.
up a company
in the
US. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's like when you're by yourself, and you start from scratch. I was like, yeah, well, what do I do? Where do I start?
Like the website, did you do the website or did
it's,
because you had to do
I hired thing. Someone to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
But and which was very good because he was great
for that.
Yeah. I wasn't. But yeah, like you well I don't know the word in English, but in French it's je tâtonne. It's like you're like, do I go this way? Do
okay.
I go this way? You don't really know because you have nobody to talk to. I mean, you have your friends and husband.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. You're not brainstorming every day, every morning. So you wake up and you're like, okay, so now.
and getting the clients, how was that? Like finding clients? Because it's a very niche
yeah.
Market also. You do specifically, not specifically, but you
yeah,
very
yeah.
much cater to French speaking.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know, I just called the travel agents and like a lot of companies in France, in Quebec, and everywhere. And then now it's nice. Now every day I have requests. So at the beginning.
Oh, so business is going very well.
Well, very well. It's going well. But I still live in California and in San Diego.
So even if you had like three tours a day,
yeah.
it will still be a little bit challenging.
Exactly. So yeah, it's going well. But yeah, like at the beginning, you have one email every 2 days and you're like, oh, I have one email. And today it's really nice because it's word to mouth
mm-hmm.
and people contact me. Oh, I had your name from blah, blah, blah. And I have many emails and it's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, cool. Thank you. It means that you do a good job. So
yeah.
it's very rewarding.
Did you mess up any tours at the beginning? You know, like people that came and you were a little bit lost and...
Well, one time, but they didn't notice, but I was so scared. We were in the desert, in the Mojave Desert, like thousands of miles of desert, and I realized I forgot to take gas before leaving.
No way! That's a pretty bad one.
Yes, and I had the client, and I saw the orange light, you know, and I was like, okay.
And you were in the middle of the desert.
Uh-huh, in my bus driving. And then, so I took my phone. You know, I don't want to take my phone while I'm driving, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't have the choice. And I was like, okay, gas station, the nearest gas station. And I was lucky that there was one in the middle, like really in the
yeah.
middle of nowhere. And I was like, okay. And it was, I think, 18 miles from here, and I had 28 miles left on my
okay. Yeah. Oh, you were very lucky.
I was so lucky, but it was, you know, at that time the gas was $2 in mm-hmm. California, but there it was $7.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, even if it was 17, yeah. You're like,
yes, so
we have to fix this.
But me, I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, what's the largest tour you've had? Like, how many people?
I think 12. 12 okay. people. But I don't want to have.
Yeah, that. Because you prefer them to be smaller, right?
Yeah.
More intimate and like.
Yeah. And then we hike also. You have to have a good, like a federation.
Yeah, a relationship amongst
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And,
so like more than 12, it's too much. Mm. But now I do more families, not so much.
Kids. How is it dealing with kids?
It depends how well they are educated.
That must be challenge. That would probably be my number one challenge. Like, oh, the kids don't behave.
Yeah.
You're trying to explain something and, you know, someone's like...
It's okay. No, I mean, I've never had big challenges. And I had some kids, but I have more adults and teenagers. So it's nice, and teenagers, they are not interested in rocks.
Yeah.
Some of them are, but some of them are not, and it's okay. So I just try to make it fun, even if for them it's, you know, they would prefer being with some friends having a drink or more drinks. But so it's nice. Mm-hmm. Most of them are interested and very nice. Mm-hmm. So. And it's fun. We have fun.
Well, I know you love having fun because I've seen you having fun many times. And you love dancing. You did like a belly dance class or...
Yeah, well, yeah, belly dance and yeah.
But so you actually study dance?
Yeah, it's my way of expression.
Beautiful.
Yeah, since I'm 3 years old, I dance.
Okay, so you've studied it for a very long time then.
I love that. And that's what I miss the most when I'm traveling, because I cannot dance.
Can you find places to dance here?
Here in San Diego?
Yeah.
Yes, I found some, but it's too expensive, actually.
Mm.
It's too expensive. But I found some. It was very interesting. When I arrived, I was in a class. In an academy here, dance academy, and it's just so different because when you come from France or even Canada, it was in the middle, but in France, because people are so judgmental, you don't dance in front of people, or like when you have to improvise, you don't improvise. You're like,
uh-huh.
You're like stuck, you know,
yeah.
Stuck in your body, like, oh, I have to improvise and people are going to look at me.
Oh.
But when I arrived here, like the girls, they were so like confident and like, okay, now you have 1 minute to improvise. And they were like...
What type of dance then? I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this podcast. Let's make this grow together.
This one was burlesque.
Okay.
Burlesque.
Yeah, burlesque.
And they were like taking all the space and going to the floor and blah, blah, blah. And me as a French coming from Canada, so I was okay. But
yeah.
I was like, oh.
But you were like, what are they doing?
What are they doing? What are they doing? And me, I was in the corner like, oh, yeah. Woo. Try to do something.
Is that different now? Are you over that? And now when you go, you're like, I don't care anymore and I just go for it?
No, still.
Still? Take a shot of something before you go.
No, I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay, but I'm better. But I'm not like them. Like, they grew up like that. They grew up that way.
Yeah, I'm telling you, just a shot.
Yeah.
Drink something.
Yeah. It's a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you comfortable here?
Yeah, I feel comfortable dancing. I mean, I love dancing, and I have not studied dance at all, at all. Okay,
yeah.
I just like to dance, and I don't really care at all. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'll improvise. I'll do whatever.
I mean,
I don't have a lot of shame, so
yeah.
I think that's probably. You know what it is? I really don't think that people are looking at others. I think people are much more concerned about themselves than what is happening around them.
Yeah.
And they're more concerned of how they portray themselves, how people are looking at them, too much focused on themselves.
That's
why I'm like, if I'm dancing, I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen is that some random person is going to turn around and say, like, she dances awful.
Yeah.
I don't care. So, whatever.
No, but you're right. And exactly like me when, I'm very comfortable dancing.
You dance very well also.
No, but it's just, I'm okay. Like, I feel comfortable. I don't have shame, but it's me. Like, if I don't dance, it's because I judge myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, they're so good, and not as good.
Yeah.
But the difference here in the US, it's when you dance and they look at you, they're going to encourage you. And even if they don't think you're amazing, they're going to be like, it was very good.
Oh, that's nice. That's very cool.
But in France, nobody's going to congratulate you. And you're going to see people talking to each other like, did you see that she did that?
Are you serious? That would happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So.
I'll make it a point the next time I'm in France to go dance and then just see exactly like who's saying what. Just to see.
Yeah, so that's really nice. In the US, that's really, you can have any type of body. You're fine.
Yeah.
You can be yourself. It's really nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And that's what I learned here. Like, you can be yourself and everybody can be whoever they want.
Yeah, who they want to be.
Yeah.
And with so many different backgrounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of that melting pot with so many different backgrounds and just being able to also incorporate what you get from other cultures into your own.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's really cool.
It's something that I've come to appreciate a lot over the years as well. It's a very nice thing to have as a society.
Yeah, it's very nice. And I think if I go back to live in France, I want to be that person who, like, I want to take everything I learned with me and I'll be in France, not being very French, being
because you are not just French now.
Yeah.
Right? And you are many other things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we can, so many people now, like you're no longer a place, you're a blend of all these different places and all the different people you've encountered along
and
the way.
You take what you want from that, I like that way of thinking, or I like that way of cooking, of anything.
Yeah, even in the cooking, like you start using ingredients in your traditional cuisine, you start adding other ingredients that are not from your culture. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's so, I feel very lucky to have had all those experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are the experiences you don't feel lucky about in life?
None of them. Like, I feel lucky of everything, even the bad experiences.
Mm.
I'm going to talk about it because I think it's important. Miscarriage.
Yes, just put it out there. Miscarriage.
Yeah, miscarriage was the one of the worst experiences in my life, but I learned a lot from that. Now,
I know that happened not too long ago also. Right?
Yeah, it was really hard, really hard. But now I'm more empathetic toward the women who go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't go through that, it's sometimes hard to understand. It was hard for me to understand, like, how can you be sad for someone you've never met?
Mm-hmm.
And then living it, like being pregnant and feeling it in my body, it was so amazing that now I really understand when the people go through that. I understand. So I'm like, okay, it was really bad. Maybe it wasn't the right time, maybe, you know, maybe it was. But now I understand. And also, I don't know if I'll be pregnant again in my life, but I know the feeling. I know the feeling that the happiness it can bring to you and the sadness if you lose it. So I learned that. So in a way, I'm lucky to learn something new.
Of course. As a woman, how did that shape you?
It changed me completely. Yeah, I didn't want kids before. And now I'm like, I don't want to travel anymore. I want a family.
Oh, it really changed you. It absolutely changed you.
Yeah.
So having life inside of you is what changed, because I don't have kids. I've never had a miscarriage. I've never been pregnant. But I've always, I love where this is going, by the way. But I've always, I never really wanted kids. I still don't want kids, but the idea of having life inside of me, I do think that must be the most amazing experience that only women get to have, of having life. I mean, that's huge.
That's huge. I was very proud, because like half of the planet can do that. But me, when I was pregnant, I was like, wow, my body can do that. It was like, wow, I can do that. And I felt so strong. I felt like I was the only one, like so powerful. Yeah. I was so proud. My body was able to give life or to create life. And it was amazing. And to feel you loving the baby already.
When did that start for you? Because you weren't expecting it, right?
No.
It was unexpected. It was unexpected. So you went from, I don't want to have kids, to I'm pregnant and I love this baby. Oh. So when did that shift? Like when you found out you were pregnant, was it like immediately this love?
Actually, it was even before I knew I was pregnant. I remember I was driving and I thought, if I was pregnant, I thought about it. If I was pregnant, what would I do? Would I get an abortion? Or what would I do? And just thinking of abortion, I started crying. And I was like, oh, wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, 4 days after that, I knew I was pregnant. And I loved it from the beginning. I was dancing. I was dancing every day. So to share the love, I was like, see how happy I am that you're here.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It was, the instinct, of protection, right away. I was like, I wanted to protect the baby. I was when I lost it, the heart stopped after 3 months, and I was like, just open my body in two pieces, but just do something. Yeah. And I was ready to cut my body, do something. But without being pregnant, I'd be like, ooh, it hurts.
So it also showed you love in a different way.
Like, you're not a priority anymore. And it's so beautiful.
Oh my God, I'm sure, I hope it happens for you.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly hope it happens for you. And I'm sure that you will be such an amazing mom.
Well, we'll see. I hope it will happen, but we'll see. It's okay if it doesn't.
You're going to be like this, a lion of a mom, you know, just like, rawr, like, don't get close.
No, I hope not. But, we'll see. We'll see. But, it's just a beautiful experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I'm sure, the most difficult.
Yeah.
The most beautiful and difficult path to walk.
It was really difficult, and also I had to guide. The day after.
The day after.
Well, I mean, not the day. I had the miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Then I had a month, but I don't know. I had a problem. I didn't expose everything, so I had an infection a month after that. So I had to get surgery, emergency. And then the evening after that, I was driving to LA. Well, I wasn't because I couldn't. I was still asleep to LA because I had a tour starting the day after.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that in a way at least help you keep your mind out of what you were going through?
For 3 months, yes. But then when I came back to San Diego, I just cried for 5 days. And it was good. I needed that. But I didn't have the time to mourn because I had to guide. So yeah, when I came back to San Diego, I took that time. And I felt better after. I felt better. But then it's like I would have gave birth last week. And so the day, you know, the day, it's still months. You're thinking, oh, it would be 6 months, it would be 7 months. And then you have all your best friends be like, oh, I'm pregnant. And you're like, ah. Before I was so happy. I was so happy for them to be pregnant. And I was so happy for me to not be pregnant. I was like, that's so cool that you're pregnant and that I'm not. Because I'm really happy for them. Really, really, really. But it's just, you feel like, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? Like everybody's able to do it, but I wasn't. And then... and then it's the day where you were supposed to give birth and you're like having a drink with your friends, which is nice, but...
but not what you had planned.
Yeah.
Not what you had planned.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I feel like so many women are going through that.
And we don't talk
so
about
many,
it.
Exactly, and nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about all the, infertility and the struggle that women have to become pregnant. And in my case, the decision that some of us make to not have kids, they're different paths, and for some reason, whatever the path it is, it's a very taboo conversation
to have, which
is silly, right? Because as you said, like half of the world is
is
capable of doing this. And
yes, exactly. It's one woman out of three and a half is having a miscarriage in her life. So it's a lot. But we don't talk about it. That's why I'm talking about it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you are. My mom had a miscarriage before she had me.
Yeah.
And I have many friends who had miscarriages. It's a difficult topic. It's kind of like periods. We don't talk about periods. We don't talk about menopause. We don't talk about all these different things that are at the core as women. They are at the core of us, mm-hmm. and also at the core of men, because it has an influence on them, right?
Course,
a huge influence on our behavior towards them, whether it be on a personal level or even professionally, on every level, it has an impact. My husband, we're going super personal. I love this. my husband has this thing that now I very much appreciate. When I'm on my period, he tells me, "Don't think too much."
Which is a very good advice.
It's a very good advice.
For that
because
period.
I start talking and I'm like, oh, but this and that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, stop now. He's like, just don't think. Read, watch a movie, don't let yourself go
and
into
don't
your
make
head.
Any decisions.
Yeah, like don't make any decisions, don't think, just like, keep it simple, keep it very simple. Of course, then sometimes I get mad at him for saying this, like, why are you like, no, just don't do this to yourself. And it's not a bad advice.
It's a very good advice. Like it should be, like everyone should know that we shouldn't make any decision while we're having our period. Just not the right time.
It's not the right time. I always think of this, like, you know, women who are presidents, like, how do they do it when they're on their period? Like, how is it for them? I mean, it's some very tough decisions that they have to do and make, and they're on their period, and they're like with cramps and all of that.
We don't know. Like I felt a bit ashamed when I had this miscarriage because I didn't even know. Like I don't know Like, is it normal that it's painful? Is it normal that I have so much blood? I didn't know.
Yeah.
And even on the internet, I was trying to look for some, you know, information.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find everything that I needed to find. So even the internet is not able to give me the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really.
That, and that's like the internet that.
Yeah,
it has everything, things that it really shouldn't even have.
Exactly. And it doesn't have the information I need about the miscarriage.
And it's not something that you can just, as a society, like, we're not used to someone just coming up and saying, like, oh, I had a miscarriage last week or 2 months ago or whatever, and I'm not doing well, like, I'm going through this. There's this big taboo on all topics that
mm-hmm.
concern our reproductive system, pretty much.
Yes, and I understand that people don't feel comfortable talking about that. They don't know how to react, but we should know that you don't have to do anything. You just have to be like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's true. But it's that we don't know how to react to it. It's like when someone passes away and you try to say, like, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. I hate this, like, I'm sorry for your loss. I've never liked the I'm sorry for your loss, because I'm like, what does that even mean? In Spanish, it's like, te acompaño en tu dolor, which is like, I'm with you in your pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you're not. You're actually not. Thank you, but like, that makes no sense. Like, you're not. It's my pain.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in this case, I mean, you felt that way. I mean, this is something that you were going through. It was your pain. And in a way, maybe you were also trying to protect that pain, that feeling.
Yes, but you feel lonely. You feel lonely. Like, you're the only one. So that's why... I don't expect people to do something special. I just want to be able to say, okay, I'm going through something difficult, and just you just say, okay, thank you for telling me.
Yeah, again, acknowledging that
exactly.
How, or what helped you, or what has been helping you pull out of that dark moment in your life?
Well, crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I can say that.
You can say that. You can say whatever you want.
I have mushrooms.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. Yeah.
Well, once, only once.
Uh-huh.
But it helped a lot.
And it helped. So, okay, tell me about your experience with mushrooms. I'm super curious because I have a lot of friends, a lot, that do mushrooms.
Yeah.
My sister went in this whole mushroom retreat.
Okay.
In Oaxaca. And
yes.
it was amazing for her. She did this like 4 years ago.
Okay.
I've never done mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
but I hear a lot of people have these very profound, deep, spiritual experiences with mushrooms.
Yeah.
Did you do it as a kind of a recreation drug, or more on the more?
Well, I've never taken any drugs in my life, even weed. I've never smoked weed.
Not
nothing.
Even weed.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay,
like,
that
not even once.
That is. Wow, like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I've never done anything, but I have done weed. So,
yeah.
That I've done.
Yeah, no, nothing. It's just one time, the mushrooms. But I'm surrounded by neuroscientists,
mm-hmm.
because my husband is ex-husband is a neuroscientist. I say husband because we're not divorced yet.
Okay.
But
okay, yeah. And I know you guys are
very close.
Very close.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the neuroscientists are very, like, some of them. They have interest in, like, LSD and mushrooms.
Okay.
I don't know a lot about it, but I trust them.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of studies about that too, that it's very good for depression and for a lot of things. And so, if you take mushrooms but under control, for 6 months to a year. It
that's the microdosing, right?
I don't think that's a microdosing. The microdosing, it's also something.
Okay.
But you take the mushrooms, LSD once,
mm-hmm.
and for 6 months to a year, it affects the effect of depression. So you
don't. Okay.
So it's really good, but it's still like being studied.
Okay. So how, in what context did you take the mushrooms?
So, well, with my husband ex, he wanted to go to a very nice restaurant, so he said, "Oh yeah, let's take a tiny piece." And so we took it,
mm-hmm.
But for me, I was going through this.
Yes.
And so for him, it was, "Woo, that's good."
You were crying the whole time, right?
And me, I just cried and screamed.
Wow.
And I really felt the emptiness in my body. I felt it like a hole in my body. And I talked to this baby and I told her, I thanked him or her.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, "Okay, thank you. If you have left for something, so we don't go through something difficult together, thank you." And also I screamed, and I don't scream. I'm very calm. I'm very relaxed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to scream. But I was crying and screaming, and my husband, he was in the bathroom, he was taking a shower, and he heard me, so he ran. He was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Oh, I was screaming, right?" But I thought I was just doing like, but actually I was really screaming. And it felt so good. And after I was like,
wow.
Okay. Yeah, so it helped me that way.
And is it something that you're still doing, or
no,
it was just that
it was
one
just
time?
Yeah, just one time.
Wow, and then just that one time it had a huge impact on you.
Yeah, yeah.
It helped you to let go.
It helped me a lot. But then I still cried a lot after that for a few days, and I don't know if you know the EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
It's eye movement. I don't know. It's a therapy too.
Oh, no, tell me more about this.
It's very interesting. It's not hypnosis. It's not that
okay. Like
that at all. It's so you have your therapist and it goes left to right with his finger in front of your eyes, and you have to follow it. And it reproduces, I think, the movement of your eyes when you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to think of something. So I was thinking about the miscarriage, about the traumatic events. So it works very well with PTSD.
Okay.
So you follow the fingers, and then after 20 seconds, the therapist says, "Okay, what's now? Well, how are you now?" And so you say what you are thinking about. "Okay, keep this in mind." And she starts again. And so this for, I don't know, 1 hour, 15
okay.
minutes, yeah. And so...
Do you go into some type of trance?
No. But for me, I don't know, I was thinking... So when I end a tour, I go to Le Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas.
Okay.
That's my reward.
Oh, I love... Which show?
All of them. I
go
saw
to
all?
Okay. But my favorite is all.
Well, my favorite is all too.
Yeah. Oh, I love all. Love all.
But so I've seen all, and then I saw all the
yeah.
others. And so I this time it was Michael Jackson.
Okay.
It was the last one I haven't seen. And so, and then when I was at this show, I was alone, and it's my reward to be alone at a show. And I started crying, but because I felt the pain, like my face, just, you know, the scream, the movie scream.
Yes.
Like I saw my face being like scream, like, ugh,
wow.
Like the pain on my face.
Uh-huh.
And so she was, the therapist was doing her EMDR. And so I told her, I just see my face being so, like, having so much pain.
Yeah.
And so I kept this image in mind all the time. And I was crying. And then at the end, she said, "Okay, what's now?" And I said, "I'm okay."
So just from that, you
from
went
that.
From that to just
yeah.
feeling fine.
And then I stopped crying. Like, I stopped crying forever.
Seriously?
Yeah, forever. And
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
cried
but
a few times better.
But it, like, that, the, like that deep pain
yeah.
just
yeah.
went away.
Actually, so what... The EMDR, it makes you accept without the pain. I still it's still hard,
mm-hmm.
but I can leave. But before, I couldn't even leave. I was just crying
wow.
all the time. And in 1 hour.
This had a huge impact in your life, the miscarriage. I mean,
yeah.
it was huge impact.
Yes. Yeah, it changed everything. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think it could happen, especially to me.
Yes, but because it's something that you weren't expecting, that you
didn't want. Yeah, yeah.
How? So do you feel now a little bit fixated on the idea of having?
No. I want a family. I don't want children. I want a family. I don't, like, I'm not gonna have a kid by myself.
Okay.
And so
you need to find the man first.
Yeah. Basically. Which is gonna be can be hard. Because yeah, of course I want someone very special. I don't want anybody. So we'll see.
No, you'll get there. But it's it's also the older we are, I think the more, my mom always tells me that she's like, the older we are, the more picky you become.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you know what you want, you know,
yeah.
You know what you want, you know what you don't want.
Yeah.
I think it's the most important part is you know what you don't want.
Yeah.
It's more that.
Yeah, in my life, like my two big loves were amazing. So I know what I want.
Yeah.
Like I want amazing.
Yeah. No, that's a good standard to have. You want amazing. You deserve amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we all deserve amazing.
I'm gonna pour you more wine. On that note. Also on that note, if you're watching this, hearing this, all of that, please subscribe. Wait, I have to say, please subscribe. Share, like,
comment,
all of it, yeah, so that we can make this grow and have more people hear great stories such as yours. And I was telling you, I'm thinking of changing the whole the name of the podcast, because yes, we'll always have a wine to share, and I'll always make a comment on the wine that we're having, because you know. I love wine, I'm a sommelier, do wine events, all of that, but it's more than the wine. It's much more than the wine. It really is about connecting and having great conversations. And if we can't have wine and we're having tea, or we'll always have something. That's for sure. Wine, tea, coffee, something. Yes, exactly. Something to share. But because bottom line, it is about sharing. So we'll see what name we come up with. Hopefully by the time this episode goes out, we'll already have the new name.
Oh my god, it'll be the first one.
So I told you the name. The name I have in mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say it out loud just in case we don't go with that one.
Yeah.
And you told me to check on
ChatGPT.
Okay,
yeah.
Second time I hear about this, very sad. This is how I feel, super old, because so many things out there, I'm like, mushrooms, this, I'm learning a lot through these podcasts. So this is this thing where you basically type in and it's like an AI.
Yeah, it's a...
This is great. AI. So now robots are telling us what to do. I love this.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, it's very impressive, and... I don't know, like there are people who are amazed by it and some people who are scared.
I'll probably be on the scared category, but we'll see. I'm gonna check it out.
Well, I'm in both, but I'm more impressed because I tried it a lot. I tried it a lot, and it's very, very impressive. Every time I try it, I'm like, oh, wow.
But how is it capable of...
Well, I don't know. Last time I hope my father is not going to listen to this podcast, but I wanted to write him a letter.
Okay.
And a sensitive letter, like that. And so I told ChatGPT.
No, you did to write the letter?
No, well, I said, okay, I want to say that to my father, but I don't know how to say it. Can you write something? Can you write something to me? And it wrote something amazing. So I took ideas from that. I took ideas.
You copy-pasted the whole thing.
No, not the whole thing. But for sure, in other situations, I copy-pasted.
Yes.
Right now, I'm impressed.
Well, there's this movie, I don't know if you ever watched it, with, I think it's with Joaquin Phoenix.
Her?
her.
Yeah, that's when I fell in love with Joaquin Phoenix. So.
Oh my god, that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that movie. I remember. I mean, I watched it. The movie ended, and I was almost shaking. I was like, "Oh my god, this is, it's surreal."
Yeah.
And I feel that's exactly where we're headed. Yeah. It was scary to watch something that felt
so right.
So right.
Yeah. So reality.
Yeah. So yeah. Real. Yeah. Yeah. So crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
No, it's true. And I guess when we watched it a few years ago, we were still like, oh, it's a bit in the future.
Mm.
But now it's exactly that. I think people can fall in love with
Siri or with Alexa or with
you should do a podcast with Siri.
Oh, that's not a terrible idea. I'd be so mad at Siri though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always like, first of all, I think she doesn't pick up my accent.
Yeah, well, yeah, same.
Between my husband and I,
yeah.
Both of us are like, we say the name. Now, seriously, I don't want to say it because she's going to jump and talk.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and just does completely, it's something that I, especially with music. Oh, drives me nuts. And both my husband and I have an accent, so it's terrible. terrible, yeah.
But I worked for Siri at Apple.
Really?
Yeah.
When were you working at Apple?
During COVID.
Ah, yeah, actually, let's go there because tours during COVID, wow.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm not allowed to talk about it. I just realized.
Okay.
You're under contract.
Okay.
But it was very interesting to work for Siri.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It is suspense. You're killing me with this.
I'm sorry,
No, it's fine. Okay, but it was very interesting. Just give me a little bit more. So it was very interesting. It can hear us, huh? It hears everything.
Well,
I'm sure that thing hears everything.
If you allow it to hear you, yes, it will. But if you don't, it won't. Problem will be, and actually is, if it changes our behavior.
It's changing our behavior. We are being influenced every day.
Completely,
every day. How is your relationship with social media? And that's because also, I mean, given your line of work, given your company, you need it.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I feel the same way. Like, I need it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. So I hired someone.
I was going to say, you have great posts. Like, everything is super professional.
She's amazing.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
She's amazing.
And I thought of that. I was like, wow, like Laurie is like posting really cool things.
Yeah.
So you hired someone.
Yeah. Myself, I wouldn't post really cool things. I just wouldn't post.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to do it. I don't know how it works. And so, but she's amazing. She changed my life.
Wow.
Miscarriage and COVID. So I don't do it.
So she has full control of it.
Yeah.
But in terms of the message that she puts out, because that's the part that I find tricky, right? Like we all have a specific way of expressing ourselves.
Yes.
And that would I find tricky. Like I would have a hard time just having someone be me.
No, completely. But so we have a calendar that we share. So she shows me what she's gonna post, and I can change.
Okay.
But she's, you know, when you go to see a therapist,
mm-hmm.
maybe the first one is not good, the second one, no, and the third one, okay, it's the right one.
Okay.
And her, it's like I found her right away.
Yeah.
She's like me.
Uh-huh.
And like what she posts, it's exactly, it's just better.
Okay.
But it's with my words, I feel like it could be me,
mm-hmm.
and but better. We're in contact a lot, like... Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say, oh yeah, I just did that. Can you post something about that? And I send her also sometimes pictures. Well, all the time I send her pictures and texts that I want to put on Instagram, for example. So we're going to be sharing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, she's in control because she knows what hashtag we need there.
Yeah, she probably knows also
when
when like the right time to do it.
Exactly.
And terrible at posting.
Me too.
Terrible.
Me too.
And I don't see myself getting any better at it, because the problem is from like the first moment, as soon as I open a bottle of wine or just like invite someone and I start talking, I leave my phone wherever it was. Just kind of like I forget about my phone. I forget about taking pictures. I do wine events. I should be taking lots of pictures.
Yes.
And I forget.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. It's the same actually. I have a lot of pictures, but at the same time, I don't take pictures now.
Yeah.
But yeah. But no, it's. I mean, I still have my Instagram. But I'm the one replying to the questions.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. She just posts when it's good to post, and she put the hashtag, and but then also she understands me. So it's very helpful. I'm glad I found her.
Yeah. I love how you like she changed your life.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell her. Okay.
Yeah. She's gonna love it. You know what she's gonna do? She's gonna grab that piece of the point, like that clip, and she's gonna reproduce that in your social media. Oh yeah, I'm sure she'll do that, and she should.
Yeah, she should, exactly.
Yeah, good job for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? What are your I mean, I don't know. Like, do you do any like a bucket list? You probably have a lot of your guests and a lot of the people that come on your tours. They probably have bucket lists, and coming here was one of them. So, do you have bucket lists? And not just travel wise, but just bucket lists, like things that you want to do, that you want to accomplish, that you want to experience. What's next for you?
So I don't have a bucket list. I really live in the moment, which is good when you say it like that, but actually it's not that good. Mm-hmm. You need to have projects and a list of things to do. But I don't know where life is going to bring me, and I'm open to anything. But I have everything I did in my life, but I realized all of my dreams. So I'm really happy with my life. Now, one thing I want to experience is have a family. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's on my bucket list. But we'll see how it goes. And it's okay if I don't have that. I'll have something else.
Well, cheers to that. And cheers to you. Cheers to this beautiful conversation. Thank you.
And cheers to you.
So much. Thank you so much. And I do hope that when that bucket list item happens, you're here again and we get to talk about that journey.
But with tea instead.
With
of wine.
Tea, yes. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you very much.